You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. Now we're going to turn to the topic of chronic absenteeism, which plagues most school districts in the Valley. We know that students who can't make it to school miss out on learning, and research shows that missing even 3 days a month over time can put students a year behind their peers. Yesterday, the Fresno County Office of Education hosted a conference looking at ways to reduce chronic absenteeism. FM89's Laura Satsui sat down with the keynote speaker, Hetty Chang. She's the founder and director of San Francisco-based Attendance Works.
Chronic absence is missing so much school for any reason, excused, unexcused suspensions, that a child falls behind because they missed out on the instruction in the classroom and the learning experiences in the classroom. We define it as missing 10% or more of the school year, which is 18 days over the school year, but we really want it to be used as an early warning so that you notice when a child missed just 2 days the first month, 4 days the second month, 6 days, because how you address chronic absence is you notice it early, figure out what might be pushing a kid out of school or creating a barrier for them getting into school, so then you can resolve that issue and get them into class before they lose so much instruction that now it's much more costly to be able to get them up to speed.
Usually, maybe what is the problem that you notice for why students aren't there?
So we think it's helpful to think about the reasons for absence as falling into four buckets. And those buckets are barriers. So those are things like no transportation or unreliable transportation, unstable housing, lack of access to health care. The second bucket, I would say, are things that are negative school experiences. The discipline policy, the suspension policy is negative. The child has a disability and there aren't the supports. The third bucket, I would say, is lack of an engaging, relevant school experience. So you don't see how is going to school going to get me to that better job? Or let's say kids don't feel a sense of connection and belonging to other students, so they don't feel engaged and part of that school experience. The last one are misconceptions. Families don't understand often that just missing 2 days a month can add up to too much, and it's not just the unexcused absences. Especially for our youngest kids, folks don't understand how learning is what I would call scaffolded. It builds over time, so they don't understand the consequences of missed absences. But what I would also say is you got to unpack these barriers, and you got to know them at a kid, school, and a district level.
And so by one data point I found, you know, Fresno County Office of Ed schools, there's maybe up to 30% of kids that are that could be considered chronically absent. And for educators who came here to learn more about how to address it, how to take care of it, and considering all of the buckets that for reasons why students might be absent, where should educators start for coming up with solutions?
Well, and I want to, for Fresno County Office of Ed schools, those are usually continuation schools. They're usually working, serving a population of students for whom the regular ed system hasn't worked ideally. So the good news is that often you can have more tailored solutions because that's what that's designed to. I would say there's a couple things. One is, if you know you have that high level of chronic absence, you know this is going to be something that you're going to have to really build into all your work with kids in that system. I think you should be asking about absences, because they probably had absences in their prior school, and they're having those challenges that they're getting. So in your outreach to families and to students, what would make you want to come to our school? What engages you? This isn't always a question of, so what we know is kids come to school when you have positive conditions for learning, when kids feel emotionally healthy and safe, right? Emotionally and physically healthy and safe. When kids feel a sense of belonging, connection, and support, when they feel academically engaged and supported, and when they feel that the adults and the kids around them will support them. When you have high levels of chronic absence, 30% is very high, it means those conditions aren't quite in place. So I think you want to start by checking in. Do they have health issues? What would make them feel connected?
And when you mentioned, you know, you hope that teachers can identify it's not just missing 18 days in a row, but it's missing 2 days a month or you know, here and there. For those students that are just missing here and there or even a chunk of school at one time, is there any coming back from, you know, being absent and then catching up with their peers?
Absolutely. And what I think we see is you need, it's a public health model where you start with prevention and early intervention. So we actually think about bands of attendance. So satisfactory attendance is kids missing less than 5%, less than 9 days. You can miss, if you just miss a couple days, it's okay. Kids get sick and we all forget. So I'm not worried about every single, let's not go overboard here. And if you are really sick and you have a contagious disease, I do want you to stay home because coming to school does not help us, right? But if you've missed school, certainly you should help make sure that we know what you missed, and then people can help you make up if that's something you need some support with. And kids can, and families, by the way, can also turn to their peers. Sometimes it's the other kid who was in class that can best help you make up. There's this less than 5%, you're missing less than 5%, where I think there's not a whole lot you need to do. Maybe you encourage kids to just figure out what they missed when they missed class and how are they going to, you know, make up for it. Then there's a group of kids that miss between 5 and 10%, and they're starting to edge towards chronic absence. And you may want to pay attention to that. And that may be something about just identifying. So, for example, we know that if there's a barrier, like let's say there's a lot of food insecurity in kids, and this is a bigger and bigger issue, that having free breakfast in the classroom can actually help. Creating walking school buses. So you look for at this level, because these are universal supports, things a lot of kids need because they're common barriers. Or getting, we know of a place in Texas where the issue was kids weren't getting their flu immunizations. And then when the flu seasons came by, everyone like got sick. So they did a huge on-site, on-school flu immunization campaign. Those are those kind of common barriers, and you're creating a universal support that all kids can access, and that's going to help. So there's a lot of stuff that's easy communications. So that's tier one. Tier two is more earlier intervening and connecting, and it's really about a personalized relationship. So it's things like there's a proven program from New York City, which is Success Mentors. If a kid was chronically absent last year, you tie them with some person in the school who can just greet them 3 to 5 days a week to say, hey, so glad you're here. And if they see them starting to miss school, they ask them what's going on. And that relationship can maybe allow that teacher to know the issue. I know, for example, of a school, an example where they had a success mentor connecting to a kid. They realized that the day the kid almost always missed was Fridays. And Fridays was when his dad was home. And so he was skipping school to be with dad. Now, once you know that, they said, okay, we ought to incentivize dad to come to school and we'll put in that kind of place. And then there's the tier three kids, which I think are missing 20% or more school. They're missing a lot of school. That's a coordinated system with your homeless shelters, with your child welfare system, juvenile justice system. Then it's an intensive set of supports. And what we need to do is invest more in prevention and early intervention so that we don't overwhelm the system that is there for the kids who really have intensive needs.
And is this problem getting better or is it getting worse overall?
So we didn't start monitoring chronic absence till 3 years ago in California. So what I do know, though, if you look at the data for the last 3 years, as a state data on California's chronic absence rates, it's slightly getting worse. I think there's a lot of things that are challenging that. Certainly one contributing factor was the teacher strikes, which at least hopefully there won't be more, so you won't have that same issue, but you'll still have to worry about the consequences for the, you know, lost instructional time. But I don't think teacher strikes explain it fully. We also have a lot of housing insecurity here in California with the rising cost of living. We also have, I think, fears. The ICE raids, the anti-immigrant sentiment does certainly create fears. So schools can reduce it. So we were just in this forum where, for example, Parlier was talking about what it's done. And they've decreased chronic absence district-wide, and they've decreased it most significantly for the kids who are homeless and disabilities. And this is over the same period that it's increasing for California. That's because they put in this prevention, early intervention. They also have a school-based health clinic, and they really approach it from a positive problem-solving approach where they partner with families to figure out what they need and engage them and get them back to school. And so I know that it can be improved, but we don't have the systems, for example, that are like in what's in Parlier. They are not everywhere. And we've just started getting this data out there. People are accustomed to a more truancy approach system. And my fear is that people don't understand this is a new way. They just look at unexcused absence. They think it's a court strategy, when this is really about a whole school working together to make school as engaging and warm and positive as possible, and then using their data to reach out and support and problem solve when kids are missing too much school.
You know, you're here in Fresno for this conference specifically. I mean, what do you hope folks are taking away today and taking to their home schools throughout the county?
What I hope they will walk away is chronic absence is a significant issue that we all have to look at if we want kids to achieve. And it is a problem that we can reduce. We can make a difference when we use our data, combine it with positive problem-solving, relationship-building, and bringing in strategic partners when the challenges that are facing kids and families are beyond the reach of just schools alone to address.
All right. Well, Hedy Chang, thank you so much for talking with us about this really important topic.
My pleasure.